When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp. Welcome to Fightful. It is August 16th, 2023. We're here to talk AEW Dynamite. We are 9 or 11 days away from AEW All In, depending on if you listen to Sting or Prince Nana. Doesn't matter. We're chugging along. We're heading that direction. I want to thank all of you here. A reminder, today was the first episode of Fightful's The Hump. Record-setting super chat and upper chat numbers for that show for that time slot. So thank you guys so much for that. You guys can help us do that here as well. We are taking super chats. We're taking humper chats here at youtube.com/Fightful. Now over 100,000 subscribers. Also, humperchats.com. You can get your question or statement in early ahead of time there. I believe I've mentioned this in the past, but Grapsody will be doing our official AEW All In post show after AEW All In. So I will be over in London for that show. Grapsody will be live immediately following. So you get extra stuff from them. I'm sure Alex will be doing stuff on Select as well. Alex, yep. How are you doing, my friend?
Okay. I'm just trying to prepare myself for what we're gonna have to talk about later. I don't know how to prepare myself for that, but. Yeah.
It's something, buddy.
It is.
It is something.
Yep. Yeah.
And I honestly can't wait to talk about it. I had to make it the thumbnail. It's the Texas Chainsaw Massacre or Massacre match. Holy crap. I was so excited. I didn't even pull up like the super chats and humper chats and all that we have our great moderator Luis doing. But please leave a thumbs up on this video. Check out our interviews this week, Blue Meanie and DDP. This week, we have had news on the CM Punk situations, as well as a steal on FightfulSelect.com. It's the best $5 in the business. We would greatly appreciate if you would head over there and subscribe. It means an awful lot to us. You get Q&A shows, additional post shows, and over 100 stories a month. We have had over 4,000 unique Fightful Select news posts. And in total, including select portions, over 5,000 stories, exclusive news stories, since we launched 5 years ago, guys. So
wow.
Thank you guys so much for that support. Trey Cash kicking us off with a very generous super chat. He said, rumors that some in AEW aren't happy with TK's booking of All In, and I feel the same way. The show I feel will deliver, but I feel like so much has been left on the table. Omega Punk, MJF Ospreay, Hobbs versus BCC. TK should have went All In on this card, or House of Black versus BCC. I think that eventually you will get those matches, but I think that with the amount of tickets they had already sold without announcing anything,
yeah,
finishing up, or not even finishing up, continuing the hot Cole and MJF angle makes a lot of sense. Omega and Punk is not a reality at this point. Hopefully one day it is. House of Black versus BCC, perhaps down the line. But how are you feeling about how we ended up looking at this card after the evening. We had three or four matches set, which we will talk about individually. I think it added quite a bit. Stadium Stampede, Jericho Osprey. I know Jericho is not your jam. The six-man tag with Golden Lovers and Hangman against Bullet Club Gold and Takeshita, which I think is going to be a slapper. How are you feeling about all this?
Mixed. I understand the nature of let's get as many people on the biggest show as possible, biggest show that ever been done. I understand that, and I get the point of view of there's all an incredible amount of multi-mans, and it may be a bit too much. And some of the multi-mans, I'm like, yeah, I guess I'd rather see something story-driven than just like let's throw a bunch of guys in the ring and let them have a fun match. But certain things of I understand New Japan's probably not going to let Will Ospreay and Kenny Omega be on an AEW pay-per-view. Not again. Not that they'll, you know, like they'll do that. They'll save that for Wrestle Kingdom, but there are other things they could have done instead. Not Punk for Omega, but other things. These will be good matches. I'm not saying they're not going to be good matches. It does feel like I'm not like anti the card, like I see a lot of people doing on social media, but I'm not like, everybody shut up. This card is great. Like I can see both sides and I'm looking forward to watching the show so that after the show, I can have a reaction to how I think everything went. Usually with AEW, people will say like, you know, the builds kind of felt rushed or maybe the matches they wanted to see weren't on the card, but then you watch the show and you go, well, actually this was pretty great. So I feel like that will not be any different this time.
Evil Diva, thank you for becoming a Fightful YouTube member. Let's talk about how we opened this show. Orange Cassidy defeating Wheeler Yuta. The Orange Cassidy title match has become a little more of a rarity. Not nearly, you know, not even a rarity, but compared to every single week, you're seeing him having a slapper. Like, we're not seeing that as much. And in a kayfabe perspective, it makes sense as well. Because, like, why would AEW see this incredible champion, know that he's hurt, and still put him out there every single week? And then I think about it, and I'm like, well, okay, it doesn't seem like it's every week, right? But then I get to thinking, and I'm like, oh, wait, well, he did wrestle on Rampage last week, and about a week and a half before that, it was AR Fox, and about a week and a half before that, it was Battle of the Belts against Lance Archer. I'm like, okay, so it just seemed like it because it hasn't been on Dynamite, but he's still doing it. He's still having slappers. Tony Khan had put over Orange Cassidy and said he's the reason Wheeler Yuta came to AEW. I can tell you all this. I've mentioned this on Fightful Select in the past. Alex, when Wheeler Yuta got his tryout and they didn't hire him, mm-hmm. That's when multiple people in WWE said, I got a feeling something big is about to change with NXT. Yeah. Because I don't know what they are looking for if they didn't hire him. And in that, they meant that he was good enough, but moldable enough. He mm-hmm. checked a lot of boxes for them. And then shortly after that, we saw the 2.0 switch. I feel like... if he had come in there and got a tryout at any other period, Wheeler Yuta would be in WWE right
sure.
now.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
When they just had their criteria was drastically altered from when they were hiring these amazing indie workers. And they said, no, we're not going to do that anymore.
Yeah.
So now you know, honestly, NXT's loss is AEW's gain because he's done nothing but improve every single time I've seen him do literally anything. So I'm very, very excited to see even more growth from Wheeler Yuta in the future.
Now, the match, excellent. We know
sure.
that.
Yeah.
That's not the story of this situation. It's setting up All In. You have anything to say about the match before we do talk about that?
No, the match was excellent. I kind of love OC I don't know, just something about his character coupled with some of the stuff that he does in this particular feud with BCC makes me realize he knows he's on borrowed time. Like this is gonna end at some point soon. My body's broken down. I can't do this anymore. So if I'm gonna die anyway, I might as well flip the double birds to John Moxley by doing his move to Wheeler Yuta in front of him, and just Mox like muttering to himself, like, "Oh, you made a big mistake, you mother." Like that is something that really makes me very excited for the eventual John Moxley versus Orange Cassidy match. And there's all kinds of fun things they can do with it. But I think they all end with Orange Cassidy wearing the Crimson Mask.
So, Jambeard says, not sure if it's this simple, but I saw on Twitter one of those people behind BCC looks like Shota behind Claudio. If that's the case, looks like Ishii behind Yuta. Well, let's talk about what the hell he's talking about. Mm-hmm. We get BCC out there after a really, really good match. And a big ruckus breaks out, so to speak, which involves Eddie Kingston coming out, best friends coming out. And Eddie Kingston says, all right, how about this? You want to fight us so bad? Anybody you can find, bring them. It's going to be Stadium Stampede at Wembley. Yep. And it's best friends, OC, Penta, Phoenix, Eddie Kingston against the BCC and three shadowy figures. Well, first off, let's talk about Stadium Stampede. Hell yeah. I had somebody say, well, it just seems like it's going to be an anarchy in the arena. And I'm like, well,
it's not.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not. It's because it's not in an arena. It's in a stadium.
Stadium.
And so therefore, it is a Stadium Stampede.
Yes.
I will grant you they are basically the same match. However, there's a crucial difference in that one of them is in an arena and the other is in a stadium. And listen. I don't know how much petrol goes for in the UK right now per liter, but if somebody find Eddie Kingston a liter of petrol and let him drag that to the ring and douse somebody with it, that'll be fun.
I think this is a brilliant booking, and I'll tell you why, Alex. Wembley's huge.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's huge.
And you know what? I was watching Bush at Rupp Arena a couple months ago, and Gavin Rossdale goes from one end of Rupp and goes all the way to the other end and performed. Mm-hmm. He performed like a song and a half there. That way people that were as far away as possible could see some of the action up close. You're going to have 12 people involved in this match.
It's everywhere.
And it's going to be everywhere. It's going to be all over the place.
Yeah.
It's going to be all over the place. They're going to be able to take this action way, 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 way up. They're probably going to get lost at some point.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter.
I want a couple of little pre-tapes that they can play on the video screen that, looks like Eddie and John Moxley have left the arena and they're now tearing apart in fish and chip shop. Like, let's get all of that. I want as much of this as possible. I think it's going to be brilliant. And the best part about all of this is that this is the match, this the Stadium Stampede, where a lot of things will happen that will lead to whatever they have planned for All Out. I keep like people forget. I think a lot of people forget that All Out is like a week later.
Yeah.
And they it's exactly a week later, and they have one match for that card now. As far as I know, it's just Darby Allin versus Luchasaurus is the one match on for All Out. So at All In, you're going to see a lot of things that are going to develop for that. And so what we could get out of that is Kingston versus Moxley or OC versus Moxley. We could get a couple of other things that could be a lot of fun that happen at All Out that are built specifically at All In and Wembley.
So Johnny Hirschman says, BCC, proud and powerful, hinted at parking lot and Eddie's exes. Yes. So who do you think it could be? I saw people say Ishii, he's in chaos. He's not going to fight best friends. That'd be very, very awkward.
Weird.
Shota would make a lot of sense, but yeah. I want Zack Sabre. I don't know if this environment is necessarily one that is conducive to him.
Right.
Nigel McGuinness. Fightful reported that he was working towards getting cleared for a match. That seems like a type of match that you could have fairly easily. And you know what? Yeah. He would fit in with BCC as anybody, Alex.
Especially if you do something on the Dynamite next week where Danielson shows up in a cast and says, man, I would love so much to be there with my brethren in the BCC, a stone's throw from Blackpool. Obviously it's much further than that, but you know how we would say it. But since I can't be there, I thought I would put in a call to an old friend.
Yeah.
And like Nigel McGuinness, like being the handpicked dude by Bryan Danielson would be excellent. I also love the idea of, because Mox would know that it would hurt Eddie so much of him bringing out Proud and Powerful, bringing out, Santana and Ortiz to be part of the thing as well. I think if Danielson picked a guy and then Moxley said these things, there you go. That'd be great.
I actually like this shout, and he didn't send a super chat, but I'm going to shout him out anyway. Anthony Ogogo would probably be a pretty good fit for the BCC there. I should have some news on him fairly soon. Yeah, I think there's a lot of opportunity here to do a lot of different things. And it's very clear AEW doesn't care about who's going to get cheered and who's going to get booed at that particular arena. And I'll talk more about that later. Mm-hmm. We got Kenny Omega. Actually, we're going to roll those segments into the main event because that would make an awful lot more sense. And we will talk about Don Callis and Chris Jericho. Matty Nice has put Anthony Ogogo in the match. There you go. He sent a super chat. What a gentleman. He paid after. I appreciate you. Jambeard says Mox versus OC for All Out, please. Yeah, and I think it's okay to put a lot of the tags and stuff like that on Wembley because you do want to get a lot of people on Wembley. People aren't as like, hell yeah, All Out.
Right. I mean, here's the I don't know that they would do this. Because they don't really, I don't know. But there's an option here that might be really excellent. Where you have Moxley be the guy who dethrones OC at All Out. But a few weeks after All Out is Grand Slam in New York. And if that's where you do Eddie Kingston versus Moxley, when Moxley's the international champion, everyone wants to see Eddie Kingston win a belt in AEW. He's the never open weight champion in New Japan. He says he wants to defend it in AEW, but I mean, that would be a pretty amazing thing to do to have Eddie Kingston beat John Moxley in New York. Would be a pretty great thing.
CO says, come clean, Alex. Did you write the Don Callis promo?
I could have, but I did not know.
So, Chris Jericho comes out, and there is a painting that is covered up. And Don Callis is ready for his answer, and Jericho says, okay, I'll join. Mm-hmm. You're my friend. You're the person I have history with. Let's do this. And Callis is like, shit, really? Great. Let's go. See ya. Don't worry about this painting in the corner. And Jericho's like, no, I want to see it. It's great. It's a piece of Mel Coleman art. She's fantastic. She's talented. Yeah. She's wonderful. And then he uncovers it, and it's Don Callis beheading him, which is objectively hilarious. Like, not the idea that he'd be beheaded, but the idea that Callis is such a cornball that he had that commissioned.
Mm-hmm.
He had that made. Mm-hmm. And Callis calls Jericho an egomaniac and says he doesn't deserve to be in the family. So I just want to say this. None of this made any sense.
None.
I'm confused as to why the hell is Callis recruiting him to begin with if he's got no desire to do it? Was the plan for Ospreay to jump him all along or Takeshita? Mm-hmm. If so, Why is he trying to leave with Jericho and hide the fact that the painting's there? Then Jericho goes from a little bit sympathetic, sort of facing his own realities, to embracing an asshole heel, to kind of being a face, I think. I don't know. I think the intention was. And then he gets attacked by a guy who is probably almost definitely going to get heavily cheered because he's from the UK.
1,000,000%.
Will Ospreay. Now, I have much more confidence in this match than you do, because Will Ospreay, I think, is the best in-ring wrestler in the world.
He's going to have to be.
I've seen Chris Jericho have really incredible matches over the last couple of years.
I haven't seen him have incredible matches.
Come on.
No, nope. Not a one.
Not one.
Passable. I've seen him have passable matches. So
which one did you anybody's
gonna
passable?
Give a, if anybody's going to give a great match out of Chris Jericho, it's Will Ospreay. That's what I'm going to say.
Come on now. Passable.
I've watched a man who's well.
Roddy Strong? That wasn't passable. That was good.
That was a gimmick match, false count anywhere. It was fun to watch.
Ishii?
It was not a good match.
Ishii? Bandido? Moxley? Eddie Kingston? Those were good matches. Come on.
You're all right.
Anyway, it didn't make any sense.
No, here's the thing. Jericho coming out and being like, listen, where's one thing that I've learned over the past few weeks is that Chris Jericho doesn't join factions. He starts factions. And that's why I have decided to join your faction. How does that make sense? Also, if Don Callis doesn't end up showing him the painting, then you were foolish enough to join the faction. You made the decision to join the faction of a guy who was planning to have you jumped and beaten up because you're so stupid you didn't see through it the way we all did at home. That's dumb.
Didn't make any sense.
That's very dumb. And then his whole thing of like, hey, wait a minute. You painted this? Well, therefore I don't like you. Had this painted? Well, therefore I don't like you.
And with Callis and Jericho, I feel like they would have bought that it was a practical joke.
Yeah.
Type of thing.
Yeah.
Like immediately when he took it off, I'd be like, yeah, it's a joke.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a rib. He says it's a rib.
Alex,
I had you painted, beheaded as a rib.
I think the reality is your ego is getting in the way of you accepting the fact that Jericho's had good matches.
It's probably true. It's probably true, honestly.
Jambeard says, two things I want from the crowd of 80K, singing Judas and singing some Madonna, which is a Grado reference. I wouldn't mind that, especially if it was on like Zero Hour or something like that. Wouldn't mind them doing that.
Yep.
Jambeard says, Alex, you genius. Two belts, Eddie. Mike the Jeweler, good friend of the show, says, any update on Santana and Ortiz? Santana's healthy, I believe. I don't know if they have made good yet. I hope so. That would be a huge shot in the arm for the tag division. How did Roderick kicking a tire get him in a wheelchair? Oh boy, shorter than wrestling refs. He ripped it off at PWG. He was back at PWG and looked like $1,000,000.
Of course.
Jack Perry says he'll retire the FTW title next week. I say, why not? It ain't going to get any better than that RVD match. That was awesome. People were high-fiving each other backstage over that match, Alex.
That was quite good. I mean, obviously this feels to me like a swerve, but I'm not sure exactly what the plan is for Mr. Perry going forward with that belt, but I do love the idea of this thing I won. I promised everyone I was going to be a champion, and now that I am, I'm going to retire the belt because I'm a heel, and that's what heels do.
Jack Perry has broken through that glass ceiling, and it is real glass, I have learned.
Yeah.
Matthew Hook says, Alex, Jericho still has better matches than Dom. That's true.
I mean, it's true. That is true.
Della Common says, Sean, for Christmas, you should commission Mel to do the same painting, just replacing Don's face with Alex's face. Listen,
best gift ever.
Her work does not come cheap. She is fantastic at what she does. Check out Mel Coleman art. She is just an incredible talent. Darby Allin and Nick Wayne defeated Gates of Agony, and you knew they were going to defeat Gates of Agony.
Yes, you did. You didn't know that. You did.
I would love to see Gates of Agony get some big wins. Like, it's just, they always happen like ROH or Rampage or something like that.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind them getting like a 2-minute squash match and then leading to something with Swerve.
Right.
And then Swerve can have a little bit longer of a match. Mm-hmm. I would really, really like that. I think that would help. And you can kind of roll their segments into one. But Darby gets the win with the coffin drop, which I like because it feels like to me like we don't see him win with that as much anymore.
Right. We had Darby and Nick Wayne. We're going to get that. This is the thing that now you have with the embassy is you have Toa Leona and Bishop Khan, who are the guys in the match who are there to take losses on behalf of Swerve and AR Fox in this thing, in these feuds that he's going to have. And that's fine, except for the fact that they're also currently champions. And they shouldn't be, I mean, they're trios champions, but in tag matches, it's basically like a trios match, and they should be really good at this and not be taking losses. Toa Leona, I also feel like he didn't take the pin tonight, which is important because that dude should be protected like crazy. That guy should be it should be a major milestone when if you can actually pin Toa Leona's shoulders to the mat. That guy is a menace. I really love watching him work.
Chris says, just looked on the New Japan site, and it doesn't say Eddie Kingston, but Eddie Edwards. Love Fightful. Keep it up. Well, after this match, Joker Stang kidnaps Prince Nana. And I love
just
this.
Just long enough so he could let him go. I
think just, yeah.
Really, it's nice.
And I don't know why they had Sting get the date wrong for the show, but it was funny.
Either. It was funny.
But Prince Nana correcting him, he's like, actually, it's 11 days. We want to make sure that people have the date right.
Just the idea of Sting, maybe people are trying to buy a pay-per-view on Friday and
yes.
they don't realize what's going on. So Nana's got to step in and go, actually, it's 11 days, but who's counting?
Jambeard says, give Impact Social Media all the credit. Well, I mean, Impact Social Media had a fumble tonight with their action figure thing. They were burying Asylum. I'm like, bro, that was your distributor, not the producer of the action figures. Hated to see that. But Vicky says, hey, Sean and Alex, amazing show. Love it when the show moves. Sting still cuts an awesome promo. Love him being sick and twisted. I want this side of him at All In. No holds barred. Love Fightful. You know, there's often talks of people being ripoffs and all that stuff. Alex, Sting had two successful ripoffs. He had the Crow and Joker, and both of them worked.
Yeah.
And people still pop for Joker Sting, a thing that happened in TNA when people swore nobody was watching it, but it still gets a reaction.
Mm-hmm. The Impact Social Media tweeting out a link to the full history of Joker Sting right after the segment was pretty good.
Brilliant.
That is a really interesting YouTube video to go back. If you weren't watching TNA at the time, it is a very interesting video to get a recap on that version of Sting. It's a really fun version of the character. There's a lot of mystique that comes with Crow Sting, but he's fairly stoic. There's a lot of like extra stuff he gets to do as Joker Sting that is fun. We shall see where all this goes. I hope eventually Darby's got to lose a coffin match that he's in. And the only thing about this is that in order to do that, it feels like in a tag team coffin match, you got to put both guys in the coffin and close the lid and not just one. Sting ain't getting put in a coffin with the lid closed. That's just not a thing that's going to happen. So if it's only one guy, I think they could figure out a way to put Swerve over here, because I do think he's the one that needs the momentum moving forward.
But maybe he can get it all back at All Out.
Alex says Sting turned heel by preventing Prince Nana dancing to Swerve's theme.
It's true.
Also, Jeff Jarrett as champ 2023. Tom LaValle says, hey, Prince Nana, have you ever danced with the devil in the pale moonlight?
He hasn't.
So I want to tell a story.
Hmm.
I worked a little angle with Shaza McKenzie.
Yeah.
Which may or may not have seen its culmination. And I pitched a skit to her.
Mm-hmm.
That was very Australian based, and she said, "No way, buddy. We might get canceled." Actually, she said, "I'll do it, but we might get canceled."
Mm-hmm.
No, because MJF and Adam Cole just did the whole thing.
Right.
They went to Outback Steakhouse
mm-hmm.
to scout out their competition, Aussie
mm-hmm.
Open.
Mm-hmm.
They watched Crocodile Dundee and Crocodile mm-hmm. Hunted.
Mm-hmm.
They hit a double clothesline on mm-hmm. one of the security guys.
Yep.
But I think the highlight of this was maybe Tony Khan's best yes. television performance.
Yes.
Since the Nick Khan promo.
Okay. Yes.
Because even people in WWE loved the Nick Khan promo. Let's talk about the Australian stuff first. They are getting into the mind of an Australian.
Yes.
I really enjoyed it.
Kangaroo kick.
It was stupid. Yeah, the kangaroo
the master,
kick.
The kangaroo, master the kangaroo kick, man.
They're setting up the move. It's going to yeah. happen. How do oh, you yeah. think the kangaroo kick happens? Does like, do they go back to back and then he does it? Like lock arms? Like,
I don't know. Maybe. I feel like that's certainly a possibility. He doesn't get very high on the kick, so maybe the guy's got to be, like, seated or something. Maybe he's going to be, like, in the corner. Like, instead of, like, the unicorn stomp, it's the kangaroo kicks in the corner.
Yeah.
I think that'll work. I thought this was hilarious, as all of their stuff is. I love that the way that JF is like, all right, so I brought you to the perfect place so we can actually start doing some study to figure out how we're going to beat Aussie Open. So I brought you to the place where to their natural lair, and it's Outback. And Adam Cole immediately goes, "I love Outback Steakhouse."
Yes.
And Sam JF says, "Don't fraternize with the enemy." This was so much fun. All of this was so much fun, including Roddy Strong kicking a tire and immediately breaking his foot. He should be in a full body cast by the end of this whole thing. Just go all the way. And this led to a really great segment in the ring that did not feel like it was silly and outlandish, like all their pre-tapes are. This made it feel very, very real. And we like to have fun here, but also let's not lose sight of this is not like, hey, these two wacky guys are going to have a match in the main event of Wembley. No. This is an incredibly important match at the biggest show ever. And let's bring it back down to like talk seriously about what this means. I thought that whole thing was excellent.
Then they get yelled at by Tony Khan. And we rarely see Tony Khan as a character. I really... like this very sporadic sunglasses Tony Khan character
with a giant and, coffee.
So yes. So, I mean, sunglasses Tony Khan is also the one that cut that promo.
Yes.
This is more of what we saw him do on Impact Wrestling.
Yeah.
A few years ago.
Also, I love this because, again, these little MJF Adam Cole pre-tapes also feel like it's an episode of BTE. So it's not necessarily fully canon, which is why you can have Tony Khan be an on-screen character in them. But also it feels like a little wink and a nod to the people who are like, Tony Khan needs to lay down the law and actually be the guy in charge here and stop everybody from mouthing off and being, you know. And so this is Tony Khan laying down the law by yelling at MJF about this match. That's good.
Jambeard says, Roddy is Mr. Glass. And then we lead into the promo. It's MJF and Cole, and they're talking about what they're going to accomplish. But they also put over we're friends, but this is the most important thing. This title is the most important thing. And despite how close we are now, I'll do anything to win it. And MJF, who sometimes leans into the, you know, oh, well, I'm very, very fortunate and I had things given to me. He didn't really have things given to him. He worked a very, very stiff independent schedule for very little money and worked his ass off and was a big prospect along the way.
Mm-hmm.
Talked about All In, talked about how Cody Rhodes booked him and all that stuff. He lost to Matt Cross on All In. I don't even remember if Matt Cross has done any AEW stuff, probably some Dark or something like that, but talked about that. And Aussie Open tried to attack, but it didn't end up working. I thought this was fine. I mean, you give these guys a full segment if you can, because you got to do that. Yeah.
The MJF promo was excellent, very fiery, excellent. And Adam Cole's thing about great. I'm glad we're on the same page that we're best friends, and we're also not going to lay down for each other. We're going to go as hard as we can in this match. That's really good. And then they get attacked by Aussie Open. They went off Aussie Open, and then we do the tease of Adam Cole getting ready for the super kick. And as soon as MJF turns around, they love that trope. They used it later with FTR and the Bucks, and they did it twice in the same show.
They sure did.
Yeah, I think you should refrain from doing the trope twice in the same show, but it did work both times. I thought this was excellent. I love Adam Cole immediately standing right back up as MJF turns around, and MJF realizing the crowd was like, he was going to kick you. And MJF looking at Adam Cole, and I'm like, what? We're besties. This is good. Really great.
Really, really liked it. We have super chats, humper chats. Arza says 100% purely coincidental. My favorite part about Roddy's collar is that it's a soft collar. It means there's no fracture, just pain.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Good time. Trevi Dime says MJF retains or Will Washington gets an automatic title shot after the Adam Cole match and wins. Plus you get $1,000. What do you choose? Listen, I would rather MJF retain. All due respect to Will Washington. I've never seen him wrestle and I don't want to see him wrestle.
I mean, I could use the $1,000, but other than that, no, I'm okay.
MJF retaining. To be fair, we would get a lot more than that in super chats as well, so it would do really well for us all around.
That's true.
Good Time also says, if I can't see Tottenham at Wembley, MJF versus Cole's the next big thing. Chi-Town Spurs, hit me up. Come on, you Spurs. Trev Easton. I don't know what you guys are. I know some of these words. Mike the Jeweler says, one more humper for the fun time. What's going on with CM Patty? Seems like homeboy is having a midlife crisis. I think he's very passionate and particular about what he wants on that show and wants that environment to be. I think that in his mind, he didn't do anything wrong, and he's trying to prevent that stuff from happening again, but maybe he's wrong about that.
I draw the line at sending home the head of talent relations.
I agree.
Like, If that is a thing that has 100% happened, that's a line that I don't think you can cross, because that is the head of talent relations, and therefore I don't feel like you get to tell him to do.
Hey guys, have you ever wondered what happened to the legendary Chuck Norris? I saw a video he made and I was shocked. He is in his 80s, still kicking butt, working out, staying active. He looks like he's got more energy, can work out longer, even has plenty of that energy left over for his grandkids, and he did this by making one change. He said that he still feels like he's in his 50s. His wife even started doing this thing too. She's never felt better. She says she feels 10 years younger, her body looks leaner, has energy all day, and Chuck's made a 20-minute video explaining step-by-step how anyone can do this same thing to see incredible changes in their health. Staying active is important. Moving around keeps you feeling good. Making sure that you take care of your gut health, your digestion, just overall, is also very important. Right now, you can go to mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Watch Chuck's video right now. That's mymorningkick.com Chuckhammer.com/Fightful. Check out what Chuck Norris has to say. What's got him feeling so good these days? He explains everything and you won't believe how simple it is.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Anything.
Well, guys, if you're crossing international date lines, time zones, any of that, NordVPN has you covered. Buying pay-per-views on NordVPN.com/Fightful is going to enhance your pay-per-view buying process. Now, one subscription to NordVPN has so many different benefits, but if you're a big pay-per-view buyer like myself, UFC, boxing, pro wrestling, all that good stuff, any combination of the three, if they're doing a fight circus or something like that, this subscription will pay for itself after one or two pay-per-view buys. Change your virtual location, pay for it at the prices that other people are paying for it in the UK, in Australia, etc., etc. And you can get different interfaces. Maybe you don't like Peacock and you want to check out the WWE Network the way that it used to be, the way that it was designed to be, the easy navigation, so on and so forth. Maybe you want to watch AEW without commercials. Maybe there's some other overseas services that you can't subscribe to and you want access to them. NordVPN.com/Fightful gives you that with a great deal and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Even better, 24/7 tech support. So if you have trouble navigating any of it, they can help you out. Fastest VPN on the planet, NordVPN.com/Fightful. NordVPN, truly love them. Jordan Grace says, or Jane Beard says, Jordan Grace also posted a tweet from 5 years ago when she was at All In. Would love her to be a surprise debut signing at All In after the four-way. She actually sent me the picture of that post. I was like, oh, I'm going to post it and rile people up. She's like, I already did. I was like, damn it. I mean, I got to say, like, I've mentioned this before. She's a millionaire outside of wrestling, a brilliant woman, especially with marketing. And I've told this story before, but what she did around the first Double or Nothing was absolute brilliance. Impact Wrestling leaked in October 2018 that she had signed with the company, but the paperwork was never completed. She knew that. She was still getting her paychecks, but what she did was wait about 6-7 months until she proved herself as a digital draw for the company and a merch mover. And then the month of Double or Nothing and AEW starting, she went to Impact and she said, I never had a signed contract. I should get a raise. This is what I've been able to do. And she got it. So one of the smarter people in a marketing and contract sense that I've seen. Tuzzlemania says, no question, just an SRS fan. Well, thank you. That means an awful lot. Tony says, Aaron Hanare for one of the people to join BCC and then challenges Eddie at All Out for the strong title. Listen, if Hanare is, there's going to be a lot of upset people on the AEW roster if Hanare gets a spot. Like,
yeah,
just not happening. N. Simmons says, best part about this whole thing is we don't know who will turn. My choice is neither, because MJF is the natural baby face and I want that face Adam Cole run because I think he found his footing here. Adam Cole has found his footing in a face run because he is just a genuinely wonderful guy, one of the most likable people. When all the Brawl Out stuff was happening, I just remember my favorite meme was like of all the Brawl Out stuff and like CM Punk says this and the Elite are doing this. And then it cut to Adam Cole and he's like, how do I get this frog coin? That is Adam Cole. Dr. Britt Baker defeated the bunny. Penelope did not end up helping. I like the group that has been formed there, though, with all them. Britt seems like she's working banged up. Like, just based on what I see out of her, it feels like she's a little hobbled, a little hampered. But I can see why you would work hard or work hurt trying to get to All In. Now, that's not something I've confirmed. It's just something that it looks like to me. She also finished with a curb stomp, which I think is... Yep. You know, all right. We saw multiple curb stomps tonight, though. I kind of wish that, you know, with all the guidelines and running through all the spots with the agents, that they would clean that up like a little bit, especially when it's a finish in one match. Mm-hmm. But what do you think of this, Alex?
Well, no surprise. We, as soon as they showed us the bracket, we knew exactly who was going to be in the match. It would have been nice to have, it's cool to have the bunny back. I think that's great. But there was never a chance she was going to beat Britt Baker to get into this match. If this is the only women's match at All In, which right now it is, it does feel kind of notable that it is and not great that it is, considering you have a Chris Statlander who's hugely over and the other champion who's in a feud right now with some really great women as well, including Willow Nightingale, who's not in a feud, but she's in a program with her, who's also hugely over. So I don't know. I thought the match was fine. Again, we knew who was going to win. You're right in that Britt Baker looks like she's banged up, but Britt Baker has been banged up for a lot of her time in AEW and always fought through it, you know?
And again, this, I don't want to speak for her, but I think that's why, like, on the All Accesses and stuff that she said about Thunder Rosa, why she's like, well, I work hurt, so why the hell doesn't everybody else type of thing. Mm-hmm. And I mean, she's worked through a lot of injuries, broken nose, broken leg. I broke her wrist. Mm-hmm. In fact, I remember I was doing an interview with David Koechner, or I was doing an interview with Britt Baker, and David Koechner from, like, Waiting and Anchorman came through, and she's like, oh, hey, let's go get dinner. And he was making up just like funny excuses. And he's like, ah, sorry, I broke my leg. I can't. And she goes, yeah, I broke my leg and wrestled a match. And he's like, no, you didn't. And I was like, she did, though.
She did.
Like, she's not lying. She really did. And he's like, I'll be at dinner. I'll be there.
Yep.
Maddie Nice says, Butcher, Blade, and Kip with BCC. I don't know if that one would work. I like them.
I mean, I like them, and they've been you know, there since the beginning, and that would be a nice little, you know, reward for them for being for that longevity. I just feel like if there's an opportunity to do something that really, really, like, tells a story from within this, like, all these characters and what their stories have been this whole time, if it is available, I still say that Mox bringing in Santana and Ortiz just to F with Eddie would be the best part of the story for me.
The Acclaimed confronted by House of Black. Their match never got started. Max Caster said his opponents looked like penises.
Yes, he did.
And they got beat like a couple of dicks, apparently, because they were out of there.
Yeah, no, they're
real quick. House of Black were there and attack. Jambeard says, personally, I was hoping the three would be House of Black for the House of Blackpool Combat Club jokes, but it seems like they're going after the Acclaimed. Yeah, they're just really twisting the knife with Billy Gunn. Mm. They're very proud of ending Billy Gunn's career, and I get it. Like, after 34, 35 years, they're the ones that put the bullet in Old Yeller. Like, they're the ones that shot Bambi's mother. Like, they did it. And they're going to twist that knife. So I thought it was really good. The Acclaimed are bringing out Billy's boots to pay homage to him and stuff like that. Show a little respect. I think they're taking a dump in those boots or lighting them on fire or throwing them into a shredder or something like that.
Okay. What happened to on the Andrade thing? Like, he won the ladder match to get his mask back and they just recedes back into the shadows. And
let me tell you, in All Elite Wrestling, oftentimes people are just forgotten about.
Yep,
for like
it
a
does
month
feel that way because there was, it felt like we were immediately building to
something there with Andrade and friends versus House of Black, which to me felt like the obvious thing to do there. But that it feels like forever ago he won that ladder match, and House of Black is like, all right, the three of us lost a feud to one guy. Now we're going to go pick on these two guys whose friend retired because we beat him. It makes them look weak. And I don't think it's intended to do that, but it feels very odd. Also, if the plan is Acclaimed and Daddy Ass back together versus the House of Black for the trio's titles, I'm kind of not okay with that trio being the one to beat House of Black, considering what House of Black has been booked as. It feels like it's a fun story of like Acclaim, like, we don't want you to retire, Daddy Ass, come back, be with us, we need you. But that to me doesn't need to lead to them beating House of Black for the titles. It just, House of Black feels really important right now. They're on a credible streak. They're doing amazing stuff. And I just don't feel like that would, I don't know.
I could agree with that. Mr. Acosta says all in. I do want to see it. And Jambeard says, I mean, Acclaim could team up with Andrade.
They could.
To me, it seems like a Billy Gunn thing.
Yeah.
I want to, because I think it'd be a big moment for him. And Billy Gunn is a guy who was supposed to get a lot of big moments in his career. Mm-hmm. And yeah, he's had a few. Yeah. And he's been a part of some cool stuff. But I would love to see Billy Gunn at least one time get a big moment that he's kind of the focal point of before he wraps it up.
Yeah.
Arza says, could they do Andrade versus Malakai versus Acclaim? I don't think so. I wouldn't doubt if they do Andrade and company at All Out against House of Black. And I would love it if they even announced that ahead of time.
Yeah.
And then if House of Black lose the trio's titles, well, Andrade still wants revenge, so he's not that worried about it.
Yeah.
And they could announce it as a top contendership match for the trio's title even.
Sure.
Ricardo is watching on delay. Here's some love for you. We are heading down the home stretch, guys. So get in your super chats. Get in your humper chats. But I'll tell you what we're not going to do. We're not going to do this in order, because you know what the main event of this podcast is. Yes, and it's getting saved for the end.
Yes.
It's getting saved for the end. Mr. Acosta says, all in looks to be another long-ass show. Could have sworn I heard Wembley has a noise curfew of 11 p.m. Congrats on 100K, SRS, and crew. Listen, I don't know a lot of the specs on Wembley, but, I mean, Adam Cole straight up said, have your ass in your seat by 5 p.m. local time. So unless it's a six-hour show, they should be good.
Yeah, the reason they're starting it during broad effing daylight is because they have to be done by a certain time. Because it's starting at like the 0 hour starting at like noon Eastern or whatever. That's like 5 p.m. British time, I think. They'll go right up to the end, I think.
So earlier in the night, Kenny Omega is doing an interview with Jim Ross, and he is stopped and beaten down by Takeshita and Bullet Club Gold. Now, I don't know where Bullet Club Gold just came out of nowhere. Like, maybe they're being contracted by Don Callis.
Yeah.
I wish things like that would be explained a little bit more.
Yeah.
And if anybody can do it, I feel like it's Jay White and Juice Robinson.
Yes.
Because they're very good. Juice Robinson and Jay White have been the winners of AEW Collision. They have absolutely killed it.
They have.
Hangman, in his now infamous vignette that was filmed Saturday, not at Collision, is in front of an ambulance where Kenny Omega supposedly was. And he's like, all right, you know what? You got the match you wanted. And it's going to be Ibushi, Hangman, Omega against Bullet Club Gold and Takeshita. The Bullet Club Gold integration doesn't necessarily make a lot of sense, but this match is going to,
that's gonna be great.
Holy cow, this is gonna be a great match. It's gonna be a phenomenal match. Yeah. I want them to explain in Lexington, where I'll be at Collision this Saturday, why Bullet Club, why,
right?
Is what I want to know.
I mean, Bullet Club, with the extension of the guns. I've been kind of like calling out Young Bucks, which is extension of Kenny Omega. It feels like Bullet Club and the Don Callis family, such as it is, featuring Takeshita and now Will Ospreay, I guess. It feels like a few months into their runs could do like a handshake deal of like, you don't like these guys, we don't like these guys, let's team up and take them on. But at this point in the run, it would be great to be like, how did this come about? Just give me the idea. Jay White's like, you know what? Don Callis came to us in our locker room with a briefcase full of cash, and we said, sure, you can keep that. I mean, we'll take it. But you didn't need to pay us. We would love to beat up Kenny Omega. I don't like that guy. I mean, all you need is something very simple to do that, and don't make us make the leap. But yeah, the match is going to be amazing. I'm very excited for it. And if it leads to like Kenny Omega versus Jay White in AEW, I wouldn't say no to that. I think we are at this point owed a nice long Takeshita versus Kenny Omega match, one-on-one, where they just get to murder each other. That footage of him versus Takeshita at DDT was so cool. Like Takeshita looked like he was 5 years old. He was so small. He's filled out so much and grown in such a way. I'm really excited for that eventual one-on-one match, which could happen as early as All Out.
Yeah, I think it'll happen at All Out. I love the fact that, like, I hadn't realized like how long ago they had wrestled. I didn't follow a lot of DDT, and I was like, oh my god, they wrestled when Takeshita was like 18 or 19, and Takeshita already looked incredible at that point.
Yeah,
and it was before Kenny really blew up on the scene as well. Yeah. So it's funny because Kenny was much older, but they were like had not broken through on a global scale yet. I thought that was really, really great. We got Young Bucks defeating the Guns. I liked the match, didn't like the finish. It was kind of sloppy. The camera did them a lot of favors there. Whoever called that cut to that end worked well. The Guns tried to cheat. Matt and Nick turned it around on them. I find the Guns way better than anybody gives them credit for, but the Elite and Bullet Club Gold is a feud that just naturally makes a ton of sense because, you know, one of the many times that people swore Bullet Club was dead after Balor left, after AJ left, after anybody leaves. Well, they were a big, big part of that.
Yeah. I think there's a very easy explanation for you know the Elite and Bullet Club Gold feud beginning out of this. I want them to do it as opposed to just let us assume it. And the Guns keep getting better and better. I think that they are much better now than they were when they were tag champs. They just keep getting better and better, working with Jay White and Juice Robinson, and the caliber of opponents that they are facing via Jay and Juice is only going to make them better and better. And this was a fun match with a really sloppy finish. And I honestly really loved the angle following it, that they were being the Bucks were being beaten down until FTR made the save, simply because like no, these are our guys. Once we're done with them, like, then you can have them. But for now, we need them to be 100% so that nobody can say that we beat them when they were already injured. This, you leave them alone because we want to beat them up first. I think that's a really cool little way of doing that. And I think Bucks and FTR at Wembley is very, very likely match of the night.
Patchy Rick says, I need a BTE bit about the Hung Lovers t-shirt for All In. Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. It's almost main event time. Our main event, guys. Mm-hmm, get in your super chats. Get in your humper chats. We'll be back after a word from our sponsors, AG1. I've long sang the praises of athleticgreens.com/Fightful, specifically AG1. vitamins and minerals, pre and probiotics to help keep you from getting sick, that phytonutrient blend, the digestive support that regulates your digestive system, the immunity support, the adaptogens, plus that energy and metabolic support. I'm going to tell you how it's affected me personally. My digestion is way better with AG1 through athleticgreens.com/Fightful. I don't get sick nearly as much. I got those pre and probiotics, that immunity support. I take a lot less caffeine throughout the day because I've got that energy and metabolic support. My metabolism has increased and improved tenfold since using AG1. And as I always say, you want to be drinking your multivitamin. Right now, you get a free one-year supply of vitamin D3 plus K2 and 5 free travel packs when you go to athleticgreens.com/Fightful and get AG1. Whether I'm at home or on the road, one scoop or one pouch, 8 ounces of water, drink it, you're good. athleticgreens.com/Fightful. Check it out, guys. athleticgreens.com/Fightful. Jason Parolo says, do you think you may do a what culture collaboration for All In? I just want to preface this by saying I adore Simon Miller. I have a really good relationship with Andy Murray, and I don't have any problems with anybody that works there. I will never do anything that makes Matt Holmes of What Culture a fucking dime. Absolutely not. That guy, 9 years ago, fired me after having me quit all of my freelance jobs after 2 weeks and said, news writing isn't going to work out for you. You should probably give that up. Boy, was that bitch wrong. So no, nothing but love for people who work at What Culture, but sincerely, Matt Holmes can suck my ass forever. And there is no better soundtrack to suck my ass to than the Texas Chainsaw Massacre death match. Jeff Jarrett defeated Jeff Hardy. This is so bad. This is so bad. And the way that I said it to you, Alex, was like, I enjoyed it because I knew I'd get to talk about it. And it was so, it's such a trash fire and terrible, and everybody knew it was going to be bad. I mean, involved with it, knew it was going to be bad. John Alba posted a great clip where he's like, what is a Texas Chainsaw Massacre death match? And Matt Hardy goes, the fuck if I know, on his own show. They did stuff backstage. It was so boring and terrible. They threw like fake blood. I thought somebody was getting tarred and feathered at one point.
I know, because the lighting was so bad, it looked black.
There was a hilarious part where the doors open up and there's this shadowy cowboy figure. And somebody goes, it's Sanjay! Couldn't even... it's Sanjay!
Mm-hmm.
This is so bad!
Yeah.
And then they took it out to the ring, mm-hmm. and it still wasn't good.
No.
Jeff Jarrett wins the match after Leatherface interferes!
No, I'm sorry. No. No.
And after the match, Jeff Jarrett is awarded a Leatherface championship. I missed a whole lot of stuff here. Jambeard says, got my drink and popcorn ready to hear Alex go off on this gong show of a match. And Darren says, Sean got to do the right thing and get Alex and Kate to review Jarrett and Hardy, an 8-star classic, our match of the year. Controversial take, says Jake. I kind of love the Massacre match. This was a B movie, Alex.
It was an F movie. it was an F movie.
This is what you guys review on Know Your News.
No, this is much worse than that. How do you do a death match sponsored by one of the most iconic horror movies and have it be boring? With all of these people in it, there were like, it felt like there were 12 people involved in the match. It was so boring.
Like, Hardy and Jarrett's combined age is 101.
It felt like each of them was 101 years old, like just the way they were moving out there. The beginning where Jeff Hardy has a full entrance, comes to the ring, does his whole thing, walks past the ring. Nobody knows where the hell he's going. He walks over to some double doors that have some weapons on it, and he's like, which one should I choose? I don't know if I should. And then Jeff Jarrett attacks him. Here's how you know it was bad. The announcers could not be arsed to even attempt to make this seem exciting. Like, at the end of the match, at the end of the match, Taz was like, well, that happened. Could not have cared less. The blood looked bad. Satnam Singh was wearing a one strap overalls. Everybody got involved, but nothing happened. Karen Jarrett was immediately out there. There were, at one point, I think she was holding the corpse of a small animal. I don't know, whatever. But the thing that I can't abide when Leatherface came out, I was waiting for him to unmask, and it was going to be somebody. Like, who?
Me too.
What wrestler is wearing the Leatherface costume?
Alex, I asked backstage, and people wouldn't tell me.
Oh my God. Nobody.
This is the scoop that I'm after.
Jeff Jarrett said that Leatherface was going to be in his corner. But then Leatherface came out and immediately ran off, like kicked Sanjay in the balls, I think, and then like chased Karen Jarrett away with the chainsaw. So if he was going to be in Jeff Jarrett's corner, that was odd. But also, in the world of AEW, Leatherface is an actual thing that exists. Like, it wasn't like a guy in a Leatherface costume. It was Leatherface. Like, they had to pretend like it was just Leatherface.
A thing that I didn't see or that I forgot to mention earlier, and I wish some of this would have been pre-taped so we had the benefit of it. Those very awkward camera cuts to Jim Ross during the Omega beatdown.
Yeah.
This could have used some of those. I wish that they just had awkward camera cuts, and I want that to become a bit now. Where they just cut to Jim Ross.
Cut to Jim Ross. God. Not My knowing God. What I don't know what to do.
My God. My ass.
Oh, Jesus.
Any of it.
And then they have, like, the whole thing is set up perfectly for Jeff hits the Swanton with all of his weight all over Jeff Jarrett through the table.
As
is tradition.
And
then there's, like, 2.5 more minutes of match. Like, it's just Jeff Jarrett takes a guitar shot and somehow still wins. And they give him a belt. He should have to defend it. He should have to defend that belt.
I feel like I need to have you and Kate do a special watch along of this.
Oh no! Never. I'm never watching this thing again. I would really
love
can't.
This.
I can't do it.
Arzah says it was Tony Khan as Leatherface, wasn't it? I will say this: Tony said that all the sponsorship money from this is going to the Maui wildfire victims. So
good. That's
very
good.
Classy.
That's
very great.
The best thing to come out of this match is that all the money they paid goes to help victims of a horrible wildfire in Maui.
Mike McVaney says chainsaw belt must be defended with a chainsaw match. Listen, this is going to sound really weird, but this is a conspiracy theory of wrestling. Somebody hit me up a couple weeks ago. And they're like, hey, I think Tony's in Amarillo. And I was like, there's only one reason to go to Amarillo, and that's Terry Funk related. Like, why would he go there? I never confirmed. It is completely unsubstantiated. Mm. But I'm like, was there something here? Was Chainsaw Charlie supposed to be here? Is he the reveal? What's going on? I never got that confirmed. I don't even know if I asked Tony about it, but there you go. Tom LaValle says, which was worse, Trading Moms or this match?
This match. Yeah.
Peyton Carter saying Tony tweeted that all the money that they made on the match is being donated to the Maui food banks. No matter how bad it was worth it. I mean, I'm completely fine with that. 100%. In fact, some of the most fun I've had back going and watching wrestling was going back and rewatching the Katie Vick stuff, because I know deep down I'm not going to have to deal with this again next week. Unless it's in a quirky pre-tape thing that will be entertaining. Yeah. With the Katie Vick stuff, I was like, God, I'm going to have to deal with this next week. And now looking back in retrospect, it's pretty funny. Mike, the jeweler, says, Sean, glad to see you're doing well, my friend. Well, I appreciate you, Mike. Says, what was the Chainsaw Massacre shit? Thought I was watching WWE PLE ridicule. Keep up the great work. Congratulations on the 100K. Looking forward to the next 100K.
This is on the level of the zombie lumberjack match.
I was about to mention that. We should put together like a marathon watch along. I feel like we should. I feel like if we do a Fightful Fantasy Football League, the losers have to do a watch along of all that and not get paid for it. Absolutely not. Jambeard says Chainsaw Charlie versus Leatherface in a chainsaw duel is now something I really want. Yeah. Will Chisholm says, I'm a guy who understands wrestling can be stupid, but my God, I watch NXT and I never even thought I'd see something worse than that. Thanks, Double J. Ain't he great? Dom Romano says, hey, Sean and Alex, I feel like Tony Khan should be arrested for giving the green light to that Texas Chainsaw Massacre death match. Why was Karen there the whole time? She was dressed like Jessica Biel from the old one.
Yeah. She was.
My wife pointed that out, and I was like, yeah, that's exactly what she's doing.
Yep.
Oh, my God. Congrats on the 100K.
People were dressed all in white that didn't get any blood on them. Jeff came out all in white, and I was like, oh, he's getting blood dumped all over him. Like, Zay came out with a full, like, white fur coat, no blood. They were breaking all the rules. Like, sorry, if you're in a death match and you're wearing all white, you have to get doused with blood, whether it's your own or a bucket of fake blood. You got it, and nothing.
Feeling Dreepy says, every time Jeff Jarrett's music goes off, I get a little less excited because the automatic response I have is TNA is on from the 2000s, and I remember, oh no, it's 23 Jeff Jarrett and he's still wrestling. I like Jeff Jarrett. I don't mind his work. And for a while, it was way too much. Like, I saw way too much of him. I didn't need to see that. And let me tell you, I was a big TNA fan back in the day, especially 05 to 09. That was the show on TV for me. That was what I couldn't miss. And, I got some little PTSD sometimes from it, but ultimately, I made it through. Monty Brown still should have been champion, though. We got Dahmer's. Actually, we just read that one. But Jane Beard says, now I want SRS to buy what culture? I wouldn't want it. And again, nothing but love for people who work there. But yeah. Jason says, oops, sorry, love you, SRS. Oh, hey, I'm doing all right. It ended up working out great for me.
Yeah, it did.
Adrian Wells sent in a $20 super chat that says he will send a $50 super chat to get Alex and Kate to review the match. Well, listen, that super chat is, I don't even know if that would cover their fee to cover the match. But I will find a way to get them. I will find a way to rope them in.
Yeah.
To do it. It's the content would be too good to not do.
Yeah, no, I'm sure.
Jambeard, I agree with this. I feel like they really missed something by where broken Matt Hardy being the one to take out Leatherface is something that should have happened. Well, they had to keep Leatherface strong, brother.
Yeah, it's true.
Leatherface must pose.
It's true. This did feel like when I was watching it, like something that would have actually been better as a cinematic match, you know, when they could have actually gotten all the angles right, made sure all the blood landed where it was supposed to land. It all of it felt just so damned boring.
Adrian saying, how much? Alex, name your show fee, because that will go directly to you.
I think we got to start the bidding at triple digits. I mean,
really?
Oh, to watch that again? To watch that again? Particularly if we're going to throw like a marathon of other matches that are terrible along with
Listen,
it? My goodness.
If it happens, it's yours. Arza says, who saw more? Limp Dick. Denise watching Naked Attraction, or us watching this match. Has she watched it yet? Because I'm really trying to get her to review Naked Attraction for her her channel. PVB says, shame OC won't get to do a big singles match in front of that Wembley crowd. Was eager to hear 80,000 cheer along with his in-ring shtick. Well, he can still do it. And still do that.
He'll still do the shtick. Yeah, for sure.
For sure. Jenna or Jezza last night said, hey, Sean, traveling to All In from New Zealand, just downloaded Nord and Fightful, NordVPN.com/Fightful. Here's a humper to say thanks for everything. Well, thank you. That's a benefit of those humper chats, guys. You can send them whenever you want so you can get ahead of the action. Jester Design says, my birthday is in 30 minutes. Happy to spend those minutes with Fightful. We're happy to have you here.
HBD.
I'm actually going to not be here on my birthday in 2 weeks. Riccicino will be. Hosts the AEW Collision post show. I will be going to watch Offspring, Simple Plan, and Sum 41, which I'm very, very excited about, honestly. Brie Marie sends a very generous super chat and says, I haven't made it to a live show in a while, but wanted to say congrats on 100K. Y'all deserve it so much for everything that you do. Brie Marie, thank you so much. It means a lot. I have appreciated all the love we've gotten for 100K. We revealed on Alex's Sour Graps show that he will be getting a silver play button. He is the only on-screen personality that has been here with me since the start, and I am so happy about that. And
yes,
I'm very excited. We got new graphics on here as well, like our new more aesthetically pleasing Fightful logos. And hey, we're getting new shirts up on shop.fightful.com. Ooh. I said I was going to get them by the end of the summer. We got humpers going up there. So make sure you guys check that out. We're going to get a new type of hoodie, because I hit up Melissa and I said, I think our hoodies are trash. I want a different substance for them. So go to shop.fightful.com. I'm going to be working on a bunch of designs soon. PVB says, Sean, sorry if it's already been answered, but I need to know. Any clue if the Stadium Stampede match will be a pre-tape or live, like Anarchy in the Arena? Weird there's no international title match. Well, I wouldn't have been surprised if they went Moxley, Orange Cassidy, and that wouldn't have surprised me. But I do think they want to get a lot of people on that show, Alex.
Yeah.
I think it'll be a live experience. I think that's probably where we're headed, maybe with very minimal taped stuff.
The stuff that happens backstage, you know what I mean? Like in the bowels of the stadium could be pre-taped. And I think probably just for logistics of how long it might take people to run from wherever the ring is through the crowd to like under all these different cool areas they might have in the backstage of the thing. It would take them too long to get there. So what do? You pre-tape that, but make it seem like it's live.
Yeah, there are ways. I hope they can pull it off, but I guess we're going to see. Mike the Jeweler says, can't wait to hear Luke Owens' review of this zombie shit match tomorrow, because I feel like he gets a mini boner when the music comes on. Oh, God, come on. Why are we going to Luke like that?
He's a big fan of the Double J.
He is. I love Luke. And Jambeard says, better idea, instead of Alex and Kate, it's Ludwig and Tiffany to review the match. Guys, thank you all so much. We in fact did not raise the funds to get this to happen, so doesn't look like it's happening. If you guys want to send in humper chats after the fact, it can happen. Yeah. It is a possibility.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Alex, tell the people where they can find you.
You can find me on the X at Alex Sour Graps. Mondays reviewing Raw on Fightful Select with Kate. Tuesday's right here reviewing NXT. Next week is Heat Wave. It's their big, big summer regular episode, but not a regular episode, Heat Wave. And then Kate and I will be doing an all-in post-show right after the show is over on 50 Select. So there's that as well. Looks like we'll probably be doing a Friday show this week with an AEW Rampage watch along. So should be good.
Tom says Linder and Sheeler on the review.
Perhaps. You never know.
Matt Hardy just tweeted out that he gave his first bloodbath in 24 years tonight. I love it. Guys, thank you all so much. Please subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. I got a lot of good scoops, some contract scoops coming up. We've been heavy on that AEW beat this week. The Raw SmackDown plans are back. Producers, backstage news, all that good stuff. Plus a Q&A show every single week. In addition to all that other stuff, FightfulSelect.com. Until next time, guys, we're out.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.